We're going to continue on with today's post-race media availability for the 37th annual PowerShares QQQ 300. And we're joined by team owner Dale Earnhardt Jr. for the number 9 Burger 5 Chevrolet for Junior Motorsports. Dale, we're discussing this in here, but the margin of victory today's race, 0.000 between two of your cars.
It's like a tie. Am I right? Yeah, well, I mean, you know, either way, fine with me. Yes, it's very close.
Very close. It took five overtimes.
I watched the whole thing. It was incredible. So I was surprised by the amount of overtimes, but, you know, with fans want to see a green flag finish, and the NASCAR tries everything they can to give them that opportunity, and that's what they saw. I thought, you know, it's a really interesting race, and you know, probably the first 80% of it was really exciting. I thought the package. I wasn't driving the cars, so I can't really speak on that, but I thought it looked incredible. It looked fun to watch the way the especially the Cup guys up there mixing it up. They were very aggressive in trying to take the lead, and having Joey and Larson and Chase up there along with the regulars, I think really was a fun mix and was interesting to watch. A lot of fun to watch all day.
Okay, we're going to open the floor for questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We will get a wireless microphone to you. Questions for Dale Earnhardt Jr. Let's go to Bob and then over to Zach.
Bob Parker, ESPN. Are you going to set up a conference call with O'Donnell after every race so you can go over all your questions?
I do. I do have a lot of questions sometimes. You know, there's just a lot going on this week. There's just been, and it's fun to inquire and debate. And you have to understand just about 99% of the tweets that I put out have a good amount of sarcasm in them, and I like to have a little fun on there. But you know, it's just I've tried to. He's also very engaging on social media as well, and it's no different than any other fan. I'm inquisitive about what I see on the track and the calls they make, and try to understand. I just really want as much information as I can to try to make sense of what I'm seeing out on the track. So, and Steve's very, very good about engaging and talking and. I called him Monday before we did our podcast just to ask him all the questions that I really needed to ask, and so that when I went on to the podcast, I didn't sound like an idiot. And so, he was gracious enough to give me an opportunity to talk to him. He could have said, man, I ain't got time for that. I got stuff to do on a Monday. But, we have a pretty good relationship, and I really like Steve because of some conversations that we've had. I've gotten to know that he's very passionate and wants the right things about the sport, wants the best for the sport. So it's fun to go back and forth with him, though. We have a good time. I don't know if he enjoys it, but some days maybe, some days probably not.
We'll go to Zach, and then we'll head upstairs to the press box.
Zach Catan's already kicking the tires right over here. What have these last couple weeks been feeling like for you? Obviously, you've been pretty busy with the renovation and stuff like that, but day before the Daytona 500, and obviously you're not racing, and you haven't been doing all these days of practices. I mean, has it really felt that different for you?
It has. We've been really busy with the renovation. We've had a lot of responsibilities with the partners that we still have, and so the calendar's been pretty full, and we went to the Super Bowl stuff. We're flying to Korea. Monday morning for a week for the final week of the Olympics, and after that we'll start the being a part of the NASCAR America show until July when we get in the booth. So a lot of things going on, and we have a new Whiskey River to open in Raleigh in a couple weeks, and we've got a dealership visit coming up to go down and see everybody in Tallahassee and make sure they're all doing great. So just a lot of little things that are a lot of fun and that I finally, you know, have more time to invest in that are projects of ours. And I haven't had a whole lot of time to sit around. And Amy says when I'm home and don't have anything to do, I just get up off the couch and pace around the house and then sit back on the couch and complain. So it's probably good that I've been so busy and I've enjoyed it. I couldn't wait to get here. Oddly enough, I was excited about, you know, coming even though I wasn't going to race. And today was a blast. We did a couple Q&As across the racetrack and had so much fun doing that. And tomorrow's, you know, going to be a great time too. We got a lot of things racked up for the morning with the Grand Marshal opportunity that I have, and looking forward to that. So, you know, it's been interesting though seeing it from this perspective, and today tomorrow is going to be exciting, I think, for everyone. This race is going to be so interesting, obviously, with what the cars have been like for the guys driving them. I'm really curious and excited about what kind of race we're going to see tomorrow, and I think it's going to be interesting.
We're going to go upstairs to the press box, then down to Dinah, then to Chris.
Hi, Dale. Jeff Gluck from jeffgluck.com up in the press box. Oh.
He knew I couldn't see him. He was like, I know he's looking around. I'm in the press box.
Well, we have we can see you. We have a TV.
Okay.
So, yeah. Anyway. so you said that the Cup guys up there mixing it up and looked incredible and fun to watch. To us, it kind of looked like insane. What are we watching there? Are they making like crazy daring moves, or is that smart and what you have to do in that situation? What was happening there?
I think that you know, the cars are comfortable enough to give them the confidence to be that aggressive, and I think that they have confidence in themselves. You know, all of them out there feel like they're the best plate racer that's ever lived, and that's the way they, you know, they drive in that fashion. And so you have to feel that way as a driver, that you're the best. You're the one out there that needs to be leading this race, not that other guy. And so if someone's leading the race and you're not, it's almost an insulting thing. So I think the comfort in those cars, they're a little down on power, they have a little more downforce and spoiler and so forth. I think that it allows those guys to be more aggressive than what we may not see guys be that aggressive on Sunday until the very end, of course. But I think that's what that is, if that makes any sense to you.
We'll keep it upstairs in the press box to Greg.
Hey, Dale. Greg Engel, Auto Week, and I can see you on TV, and thank God you can't see me. two quick questions. When's the housewarming in Key West? And preseason, you dealt with your teams getting ready for your own teams. Was this? But you're getting ready for TV and all that. Was it a different kind of stress? Was it the same kind of stress coming into a season? Or you know, was it kind of different? Or
right. We finished, I think we finished filming and the reveal for this house in a couple weeks. Me and Amy were in Charleston yesterday buying a lot of the furniture for the house. Pretty much have to furnish the whole house, so we bought about 80% of it yesterday in Charleston. And the whole experience has really been educational for me. I've had a lot of fun. It's helped me and Amy learn how to work together better. It's been a great practice for our marriage. And you know, genuinely, it's been a great experience for both of us to do this. And we started off, you know, sort of butting heads a little bit, and learn, you know, getting in there and doing the work wasn't always a lot of fun. But as we got going, we got more invested in it. It's been a great experience, and I can't wait for people to see the whole process. It's really, really incredible. This place was a dump. It was unbelievable how bad off this place was, and I think everybody will understand what I'm talking about when they see the show and the rules that you have to live by down there in Key West with the historical district. I mean, what you have to do is just mind-boggling. But we're going to explain that all in the show, and I can't wait for people to see it. We're almost finished. As far as preparing for and when it airs, I don't know. They're going to have to edit it, I believe, sometime in June if we're lucky. But as far as getting ready for the season, I've not really been that nervous. It's actually been really nice to not have to worry about performance or living up to expectation or your own or someone else's. It's been great to get all that off my shoulders. This is the first race we've won on a Saturday. I have not had to worry about Sunday. I walked around every day of my life with 1,000 pounds on my shoulders that was Sunday. you know, what was going to happen. How was I going to run? And I think every driver does that. Now that that's off my shoulders and I don't have to worry about that anymore, everything in my life is so much more enjoyable. And racing, I love driving cars on Sunday, but it made everything else, you know, sit in the back seat, and it made everything else was nowhere near as enjoyable as it could have been or should have been, maybe because of the pressure I put on myself for Sunday. But with all that out of the way, man, life's, I'm living, I'm loving, I'm having a good time. I haven't had any nerves about the broadcasting stuff. I'm really excited about getting into talking NASCAR. Sending me to Super Bowl and sending me to Korea has the anxiety through the roof. Yeah, I was really nervous going to the Super Bowl. Somebody had the vision to put me with Rutledge, which was so good because I know Rutledge. I know him so much better now after that week, but I knew I was a fish out of water. And so to be with Rutledge all week, he was, when the camera wasn't rolling, he was, you know, really helping me and pointing me in the right direction, telling me what to expect and really preparing me for everything that we had to do. And so it was so great to have him. And then, but for Korea, he's going to leave before, or right when I get there, he's leaving. I'm taking Mike Davis with me, but I don't think he's going to be any smarter about it than I am. And they haven't told me what I'm doing when I get there. Like, really? Like, they haven't told me what I'm doing, so I'm a little nervous. But I know that they won't set me up to fail. They won't, you know, they want to have good TV, and they're not going to put me in a position where I won't be able to somehow help deliver that. And so I'm sure they're going to have some fun, and whatever that is, I'll find out in the very last minute. And the rest of it should be great. I'm going to have a chance to see some of the best athletes in the world do what they do best, and that'll be an experience that I'll never forget. So I'm looking forward to that. Very blessed.
We are now joined by the winner of today's 37th annual PowerShares QQQ 300, and that is Tyler Reddick, driver of the number 9 Burger 5 Chevrolet for Junior Motorsports. Tyler, you have now won the closest finish in NASCAR National Series history. Margin of victory, 0.000. When you crossed the finish line, did you think you were the winner?
Either way, Junior Motorsports wins, right?
I know, that's what I told him.
Me or the 1-1, right?
Right.
That was insane. I just saw a picture of it like 10 minutes ago. I mean, it's not much. I mean, for some reason, I felt like, of course, when you always get that big side draft, like, you feel like you always get it. You may not always get it, but I don't know. I guess it was just enough, and soon enough, too. So it's just incredible it worked out that way. And I'm glad through teamwork, it came down to either me or Elliott that was going to win that race. He gave me an outstanding job, pushing me on those last couple of restarts, getting me out there, and pretty much putting himself in a position where he can push me out there, get me out there. If he got himself free, you know, he's able to get by me, and then I was able to get pushed, and it's teamwork at its best. It was good with either me winning or him winning, and either way, that's a win for Dale and the rest of the team. So I'm just glad it was us winning, and I know he's gonna be really tough when we come back to these super speedways, and I'm just thankful it was me that won.
Okay, we're gonna go to the back to Dinah.
Dale, Dinah Pulver with the Daytona Beach News Journal. What made you decide to bring Tyler on board, and how are you feeling about that decision today?
Tyler's camp got in touch with us sometime last year and wanted to know if we wanted to go racing, and we had a deal in a week. Pretty much, right, Kelly? That I told his grandfather in Victor Lane. I said, you know, it's rare that things come together so easily, and usually we as a company have such a challenge in front of us year after year trying to figure out how to continue our success, and this came together so easily. And I had seen him race and knew he was a successful driver and a great person. I love his character. And then after we signed our deal, he went and won last year in the 42 car. So you know, just checking all the boxes for us, we were really excited about our opportunity this year, and for him to come out here and win the first race of the season, I don't know if he even realizes what kind of fun we can have this year, but it's going to be a lot of fun watching him progress, and he's just really, you know, seems to really have a good head on his shoulders, doesn't get riled up in certain situations. I haven't even seen him really cut loose yet after winning this race. So I'm waiting on him to sort of come out of his shell a little bit. Hopefully he goes and has some fun tonight and celebrates and enjoys this, because this is an incredible accomplishment to win at Daytona. And I'm so proud for him and his family, and getting to know them this year is going to be a blast. So we're lucky to have Tyler.
We'll go next to Chris, then to Dan, and then upstairs to the press box.
Dale, Chris Boyle, Daytona Beach News Journal. Just wanted to get your thoughts on Elliott Sadler's race, the amount of adversity he was had to go through today. And is there anything you can really say to a guy after the amount of, you know, near misses he's had at this racetrack?
Yeah, I exhausted everything after Homestead. You know, I tried to tell him, like, hey, man, you know, I know this is – it took him – it was so much for him to sort of get past his experience in Homestead. But I knew, knowing Elliott, that I'm like, man, when this guy gets over this, he is going to be a handful. And he was today. I think that we saw even more determined Elliott Sadler today than we've seen at Daytona in a long time, and I think that that's the guy we'll see going forward for the rest of this year. He's so determined to show what this team's capable of. He knows they should have won more races last year, and he, in his heart, feels like they should have won the championship. And he's so determined to get back to Homestead and get that opportunity again. So, watch out for for Elliott.
I feel like I'm just fueling that fire, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is – I don't know what I can tell him about, you know, to help him for today. And he's, you know, he's my age and has been through all the ups and downs in this sport and knows what it's like to lose the close ones. And these probably are the ones you remember even over some of the wins. The ones you should have won are some of the most difficult ones to forget about. And it'll be a great season for him. I think he's going to be a real tenacious, competitive driver all year and going to work hard.
Go next to Dan, and then up to the press box.
Dan Gelson, the Associated Press. Dale, you said you don't know what you're doing, but what would you like to do? Do you want to ski? Do you want to bobsled?
Oh, no, I don't want to do anything. I want to the bobsled guy said I can come have a go at Lake Placid sometime, and they can ride all the way past March. So I've been talking to the four-man guys about coming up there, and that'll be way easier to do in the States than over in South Korea. And Sam Flood told me not to bring my skis and none of my crap for that, so we ain't going to have no time to have some fun skiing. I do know that we're going to go see a lot of events, so I'm excited. I've been watching. He told me, I was like, man, Sam, what am I doing when I go there? He said, just don't get here and act like, you know, just don't get here and not know what's happened. And so I've been watching everything and learning a lot, and hopefully when I get there, you know, we have some fun. I don't really know what's going to happen. I love sushi. The food's going to be great. And it ain't that American stuff. So it'll be the real thing. Well, whatever. Rutt's telling me about the Korean barbecue. He's even sending me pictures of it. So I can't wait to see try some of that. That's going to be awesome.
We're going to go upstairs to the press box, and then we'll come back down here to Michael.
Reed Spencer with the NASCAR Wire Service. Tyler, could you go through just the last part of that last lap? It looked like when you came off of four, you didn't have help. Elliott still had a car behind him. You touched lightly a couple of times, it looked like. What was the decisive factor there in your mind?
It just came down to the side draft, and it's funny. We were talking about, you know, in practice and a little bit today, how much more effective it seemed side drafting was. And honestly, I wish I could say I knew I timed it exactly how I wanted to. It's just it was situational. I felt like I had to get down on his door and as hard as I could right when I did, where he was, you know, he was going to win the race. I just felt like I had to get down at that point in time and then shoot back up away from him. And, you know, maybe that's one time out of 10 it's going to work and the other 9 it won't, but it seemed to just – it worked out in our favor that time.
Michael.
Mike Massey with FrontStretch.com. This race had the Elliott and Elliott black flag there, and I just wanted to know – Sadler said that he didn't really understand the ruling there. Do you guys think that's been properly explained to the drivers? And I know Kelly didn't like the fact that the front driver gets penalized too. What do you guys have to say about that?
Well, I really didn't get to see that situation. I was kind of back there scrounging to just stay in the top. We were having some issues with our car all race long. And we just about the time when I would get to somebody and give them a bump or a push, if you will, the motor was acting up. So all race long, I was just struggling to just keep the hole in front of me filled. So I'm really not sure, you know. That wasn't really my deal. I wasn't one of those two guys.
Yeah, I don't sit in the drivers' meetings, so I don't really know what they have instructed the drivers. But Parker Klingerman put something on Twitter about what he was told before the truck race that made sense to me. If you lock bumpers for more than a second, they're going to bust you. And so if that's, you know, no matter what, so that's what they did. That's what happened today. And I think that, you know, it's rules the rules, and they're the same for everybody.
Come back down here in the middle.
Hi there, Lexi Swat with CBSSports.com. Dale, you've said in the past that you wanted to be Peyton Manning in retirement. Oh. Obviously, since he's in town, do you think you've done that?
Well, I don't know. I got a job before he did. I don't know if he's intentionally staying retired, but I did read on Twitter where I think he's being rumored to as a possible announcer for a couple networks. So I think that's something in his future. I get a chance every once in a while to spend some time with him, and definitely kind of like to lean on him or talk to him a little bit about what he's doing and how he's spending his time. And he's certainly somebody that could teach you a little bit about how to do that wisely. But I knew that I wanted to stay involved in NASCAR, and I knew that I wanted to find a reason to be here, and I think I've been able to do that, hopefully with this opportunity with NBC. And if I'm good at it and the fans like what I do, I get to stick around. So hopefully it lasts for a really long time.
Go next to Caleb and then to Aaron.
Caleb Whistler, Kicking the Tires. With it being Xfinity's 100th race in NASCAR, what does this win mean to you on Xfinity's 100th?
It's incredible. I mean, it's really cool that I was able to win their 100th race. And it was really cool that the margin of victory came down to as little as it was. I mean, I'm sure they're going to remember this race for a very long time. All those guys are excited. They were really pumped up about kicking the year off with this 100th, you know, their 100th race sponsoring this series. And just one more way they're going to remember this 100th race. And it's just really cool that they've stepped up to the plate in the way that they have. And, I mean, they're doing everything they can to immerse NASCAR into Xfinity. And, you know, they're doing more than just sponsoring their series. They're trying to get our name out there. They're trying to get the drivers out there and the sport out there to all of their customers. And it's a really cool way for their 100th race to end and go down. And it's even cooler that we're able to say that we won that 100th race.
Go to Aaron, then up to the press box.
Aaron Bearden, Kicking the Tires. I got one for each of you. Tyler, I'll start with you. I mean, we had 5 overtimes tonight, and it just seemed like you kept having to re-rack them. You're racing against Ryan Reed. What's that experience like in the car when you think you've got it, and then we crash out again, we got to rack them up again? How is that experience in the car?
It's just plate racing. Just when you think you got it, you know, it gets taken away from you. And running these races kind of, you get used to that a little bit. You know, nothing really can prepare you and make, you know, when you're so many feet away from the finished line that the caution comes out and, you know, you have to go back out and do another restart or another overtime attempt. But this just comes back to having a good teammate. Elliott Sadler was right behind me, and we figured out something at the end there. I was not doing a very good job at the start of the race on restarts. I still quite haven't figured out how to exactly do my best to time my runs on the restarts and help our line most efficiently. But we found something there at the end, and he was doing an outstanding job. He was getting me out there and you know, putting me out in the lead, and then he went to work and found himself in the lead and, you know, put ourselves an opportunity, like I said earlier, to both have a shot at winning the race. So just really cool.
And Dale, in the midst of all that craziness, we got the treat of seeing one of your crew members from Chase Elliott's crew run a dead sprint to get a window. Did you get to kind of see that?
Yeah, it was Mayo, and I've worked with him before, actually, on the Cup side for some years, and he's a good guy. I was probably as disappointed as he was that it wasn't already in the pit stall. So, but he did a great job, you know, and I think there was that effort there got the job done. So he's going to be a star now. I saw it blowing up on social media.
Just another way to remember
he's going to be a meme tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll have the question in the press box, then the Dinah, and we'll wrap with Dan.
Hey, Dale. It's Matt Mayer with CBS Sports. I saw you were working on your daily fantasy lineup a little earlier during the five overtimes. I was wondering if you had that thing set yet and if you could share it with us.
Nope. Man, I can't tell you that. We going for 10 grand. I can't tell you that. I got some dark horses in my lineup. I'll say that. Actually, DraftKings has we've been trying to figure out how to get our podcast sponsored, and Mike's been working on that, and we've had a lot of conversations about that, and brought DraftKings on for sponsorship for our podcast for the first one and the second one. So that's a new partnership of ours, and we'll kind of see where it goes. And I always enjoyed fantasy, so I think it's a good match. And if I win 10 grand Sunday, you might know who I put in my lineup, but until then, I'm going to keep that to myself.
Dinah?
I did not. Nope. There's not 10 grand for that.
Go ahead, Dinah.
Tyler, Dinah Pulver with the News Journal. How old were you when you decided that you wanted to try to make it as a race car driver, and what were your thoughts in Victory Lane today about that?
Well, you know, I've been racing since I was like 4 years old, but, you know, it was all about having fun and having a good time with my family. You know, my mom, my dad, and my sister all going out to the racetrack, and the rest of my family, my grandfather, grandmother, coming out and watching, growing up in California. And it was all about having fun, having a good time, and us all spending time together and just enjoying ourselves. And oh, as time went by, I think got a little more serious, and you know, it just happens. It just happened naturally. You know, things got really good for us in the family to be able to pursue higher levels of racing. And we were able to go race, you know, across the country running dirt late models and sprint cars and mini sprints. And it gave me the seat time that I needed to somehow miraculously win a NASCAR K&N race at Rockingham, and just led to the next thing. It's just a lot of things had to fall just the right way. And it just seems like I've been getting some pretty good breaks, and you know, winning this race today just was just another one of those.
Finish up with Dan.
Dan Gelson, AP. Dale, real quick about tomorrow. Just what does it mean to have Jeffrey in it and to keep the Earnhardt name in the race again for the 40th straight year?
Yeah, I know that was important for Jeffrey, just following his conversation and comments in the media. I know that was important for him. I know how much he wants to be racing and competing. And this is the biggest race of the year. You know, I hate to miss that opportunity, and I know that it was important for him. So I'm happy that he gets a chance to compete. And hopefully, you know, he had a really, really difficult year last year. You know, and he bit his tongue in half, you know, trying to keep his head down and keep his mouth shut. And that was a very, very difficult year for him. And so I'm hoping for some good fortune for him this year that he can enjoy. And I know that he wants to be in this sport. So I'm pulling for him to do that and accomplish that. So it's going to be great for him tomorrow to be out there racing. I'm sure a couple months ago he didn't know whether that would be happening or not.
Well, gentlemen, congratulations on the victory. Good luck next week in Atlanta. Take care now.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.